You're listening to the Beauty Brain Show, where real scientists answer your beauty questions. And now, here's Randy and Perry.
Hello, everybody. I'm Randy Schuler, and I'm here, as always, with my cohort,
Perry Romanowski. How's it going, Randy Schuler?
Hey, Perry. And we are introduced today by Francis. Did you hear that intro?
That was a fabulous intro. It always surprises me people around the world tune into this show.
I love this feature where listeners can record their own intro to the show. It really gives it kind of a personal flavor. I'm a huge fan of this.
You know, how would a listener, if they wanted to record their own show intro, how would they do that?
If they wanted to record their own show, they would compete with us. So I'm not, I wouldn't advocate that.
Intro to our show.
Well, all they have to do is pull out their trusty smartphone. That's probably the easiest way. Just use whatever voice recording app you happen to have on hand. The iPhone's particularly good for that. And then just hit the share button and send that to us at thebeautybrains@gmail.com. You can also do it on your old-fashioned computer if you see fit.
Yeah, but are you suggesting they could just say whatever they want?
Well, you asked me how they do it, not what they should do. They should follow Frances's sterling example, where she says, "You're listening to the Beauty Brains, where real scientists answer your beauty questions. And now here's Randy and Perry." And make sure they say my name first. So those are the only requirements. Do that, and you will be on this show.
To be anti-alphabetical? Is that... And actually, he speaks the truth because he does all the sound editing. So.
Even if they say it the other way, with your name first, I'll just edit it back to my name first. So,
hey, Randy, have you caught lottery fever?
Hey, wow, way to make dated references that people won't care about by the time they get around to listening to this episode.
Oh, that's a good point. By then, I'll already have my $1.5 billion, right?
Well, we're partners, so just remember that.
I hope we keep doing the show.
I don't know about you, but I will.
Speaking of the show, what do we got on the show today?
Well, we're doing beauty science news today, and I thought maybe you could kick things off.
So listen today, and you'll find out some of the hot new trends from Korean beauty products. You'll also find out about what's living on your face. And you'll also learn whether that... proof that eyeliner gets in your eye? What? Well, all kinds of fabulous stuff coming up on the show soon. Let me kick it off with one about the South Korean beauty trends.
Yeah, by the way, this is what happens when we don't make it to rehearsal.
That's right. Who wrote this script? We'll just do it live. We'll do it live. All right. Randy, you know where in the world a lot of the latest beauty trends come from?
Here's South Korea.
Yes, it is South Korea. Actually, Japan had long been a source of beauty trend for the European and American countries, but more and more that is shifting south to South Korea. Recently, there are some recent trends from Korea, include the BB creams, familiar with that?
Sure, yeah.
Cushion compacts, sheet masks, and then ingredients like rice bran and pomegranate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, recently, the latest products that hit Europe and North America were started in South Korea. So I thought it would be interesting to see what else might be coming our way. And here are five new beauty products as reported by health.com.
That's a different website.
It's five new beauty products as reported by health.com coming out of South Korea. So look for these. There's number one is glass nail art. So essentially, people are putting little pieces of cellophane in their nail polish so that it looks like your nails are shattered glass.
Hmm.
No doubt inspired by all those shattered iPhone screens. Right. Did I tell you I was finally struck by the broken screen?
No, you did not tell me. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, after going, 2 years with my other iPhone, not having a case and never breaking it, I decided not to get a case for my next iPhone and... 9 months in, I dropped it and broke it.
Cool.
All right, number two. Next is the mask-making juicer. You gotta love this one, and we'll have a YouTube video of it.
Oh.
But so what do you get when you combine a juicer with a beauty product? You get a juicer that blends down fruits and vegetables and turns them into a facial mask.
Huh.
I'm not sure. I'm sure this is just a novelty, but it's kind of interesting. You put like a... It has a section where you put a polymeric material in it,
mm-hmm.
and then the top is just like a juicer where you
just, right, put fruits, things, vegetables, yeah.
And you run the thing, and then at the bottom, it prints out a rubberized facial mask that you put right on your face.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, you have to check out that video. All right, number three, speaking of masks, are rubber masks. Now, this is this mask is sold to you as flakes, like oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you add water, it turns into a slimy paste, and then you put that paste all over your face, and then it hardens to a rubbery consistency.
Hmm.
And then after 15 minutes, you just peel it right off.
Okay.
So it's kind of a new twist on masks.
Yeah, do it yourself, sort of.
We got two more of these. Number four is the Intense Foot Peel. It's a product called the Baby Exfoliant Foot Peel, which is a chemical peel for your feet.
Hmm.
It sounds dangerous, but it will certainly take the layers of dead skin off your feet.
But it's just to be clear, it's not for babies.
No. It's for old people.
Okay.
I think if you can't make it to those spas where they have the tubs of fish that eat the skin off, use this thing. Yeah. All right, and the fifth one to look for coming your way, we have the peel-off lip tint. You apply it like a regular lipstick, and after 15 minutes, it hardens up, and then you rip it off. And what you're left with are lips that have a stained color on them that won't come off even after a night of eating and drinking. Now, I wondered if it comes off the next day. It's stained right on there, right? So anyway, look for these products to be making their way to a beauty shelves in the coming months or years. It's a little known fact that most cosmetic marketing is done by the marketers looking around the world to find what is selling hot in one market, and then they just bring it over that market, right?
For sure. You know, I've seen a few of these that you mentioned and a bunch of these other South Korean products and the Japanese ones as well that you mentioned. And they do strike me as being really quite innovative. They're not always necessarily very benefit-driven, though. And even the example you gave, that the juicer blender mask thing, is very cool. But that technology isn't going to give you any really better facial treatment. I mean, it's not like they're incorporating, you know, cutting edge polypeptides or something that'll stimulate collagen production. I mean, it's really just kind of another twist on the natural do-it-yourself mask. But it's cool. It's just, I'm just not quite sure it really gives you, much bang for your buck. I don't know.
It's just a better way to smear cucumbers on your face, right?
Lord knows we need that. Hey, speaking of beauty breakthroughs, though, I did read an interesting article about a new acne treatment that certainly qualifies as breakthrough. And all you need is an ultrasonic generator, some gold particles, and a laser.
Oh, I think I got that in my shed back.
Well, this one comes to us from the Journal of Controlled Release. And I'll put a link in the show notes just on the off chance that any of our listeners might have missed an article from the Journal of Controlled Release.
I know I have all the back issues.
In your shed, I know. These researchers at the University of California have figured out a new way to treat acne by treating its source, which is the overproducing oil glands. So this new process is called photothermolysis. Apparently it's extremely effective. It's also somewhat complicated. So first, it uses low-frequency ultrasound to increase the skin penetration of gold-coated silica particles.
Hmm.
Right, so they're basically pushing those micro or nanoparticles, I guess, into the sebaceous glands. Then, once these particles have been absorbed by the glands, then they zap them with a laser that's specially tuned to be absorbed by gold. So the gold particles will absorb the laser light, they'll heat up, and this happens through a process known as surface plasmon resonance.
Oh.
Yeah, gotta like that. And then the resulting heat then deactivates the oil gland. When they say deactivates, I think they mean destroys, but the article was a bit vague on that point. So it seems to me that would be irreversible. I'm not sure if the gland would recover from that because, there's a similar process you use to kill off the follicle to get rid of hair, right?
Right, right.
You're very similar principle, so I'm not sure if it's reversible or not. But anyway, the way this one works is after this treatment, all the gunk that was clogging your pores, along with the gold particles, that gets normally excreted, and your acne's gone. So According to the researchers, there are a couple of benefits with this approach. First of all, it doesn't irritate or dry skin like some of the chemical acne treatments can. And unlike antibiotic treatments, which is another popular way to treat acne, it doesn't pose any risk of resistance to the antibiotics or any long-term side effects. So they say it's a highly local but highly potent solution to acne as well. Now, before you get too excited about this, keep in mind the treatment's still experimental. You know, more work needs to be done, really, to understand the safety of the approach. Like we said, we don't know what it does to the hair follicles yet, so it might, if it stopped facial hair growth, that might be good for women, not so much for guys who want to grow beards, like yourself.
Right, right. Yeah, well, it's always accidental. Well, that's a fascinating technology, and anytime you can put gold in your face, that sounds fun to me, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of your face, my next story is about the face.
Oh.
Are you ready for a little parasite talk?
I know how you love your parasites.
I do. You know, I often tell people that my full name is Parasite.
Do they respond to that little bit of information?
They do often give a sort of a weird look.
Yeah. You think you'd be used to that.
I get that a lot. Well, according to this story, your face is covered with parasitic mites called Demodex.
Ah.
They're little microscopic arachnids that live on your skin and feed on things like oil, skin cells, and skin bacteria. Now, if you think of your face as like a savanna, these guys are like the little antelope grazing on whatever comes out of the ground or your face. Usually, they don't cause any problems, so you know they're usually friendly. But when enough of them gather in one spot, they cause things like rosacea, dermatitis, types of alopecia, and they've even been implicated in acne.
Oh.
The fascinating thing is that researchers have been looking at the genetic history of these little guys and discovered that there are four distinct lineages that correspond to different regions of the world. So there are African Demodex mites, the Asian mites, Latin mites, and European mites. And so what happened is, as humans emerged out of Africa and we populated all these different parts of the world, we brought our little mites with them, and as we evolved, the mites on our faces evolved to these different lineages. So interestingly, the population of mites reflect the history of the world, and the way that the world was populated. So generally, African and Asian and Latin mites, they tend to only be found on people from those regions, while European mites are found on the faces of everyone around the world. And it's reflective of the way Europeans went around the world conquering everybody and, you know, imperialism, and they were spreading their mites around the world.
MIGHT in that case, but.
Exactly. Hey, that's clever. And beyond just a fascination with parasites that live on your face, there is actually some good cosmetic reasons to study these mites. Since they have been implicated in the conditions like rosacea, making products that can kill these little buggers could actually help improve people's skin. In fact, a recent study of a cream that contained 1% ivermectin, that's an anti-parasitic ingredient, it showed that it reduced the inflammatory lesions on the face. So presumably, this could be a treatment for rosacea. So if you suffer from rosacea, it could be your misbehaving Demodex mites, and this kind of cream might help you.
It's interesting. I mean, that does open up kind of a whole new product category. It's like, insecticide for your face. The problem is the EPA is going to be all over that, right? So you don't want to make direct claims there. It's not really a drug product, right? I mean,
it's a drug in the same way an antibiotic's a drug, right?
I don't know. It's interesting. I wonder if there's a sort of a cosmetic version of this. And then, like, what does the display look like at Sephora to sell this stuff? I just don't. And I'm not quite sure how you put that together with the marketing.
Well, you have the little bugger mites, the big blown-up picture of them.
Yeah, people love to see those things. They're scary as hell.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Randy? If you're interested in the wonderful world of parasites, check out the book What's Eating You? People and Their Parasites by Eugene Kaplan. And you know where you can get an audio version of this book, Randy?
Wait, you can listen to books now?
You can listen to books on audible.com. Just sign up through our link, audibletrial.com/beautybrains, for a free 30-day trial, and you'll get a free audiobook Now, you can cancel your subscription at any time, but you still get to keep that free book. And if it's a book about parasites, you'll learn all about more parasites, which are just fascinating. So go to audibletrial.com/beautybrains today.
Or you could actually have a life and download a book that's not about parasites. Wow. All right.
Do you have the next story?
I do have the next story. Let's talk about claims. And specifically, I want to talk about whether or not we should be free from claims.
I didn't stutter there.
I mean, free from claims about being free from other ingredients, right?
Like this product doesn't contain uranium or something?
Yeah. a ridiculous
uranium
example,
free.
But yeah, right. And typically you would see, you know, things that claim to be free from parabens, free from sulfates, that sort of thing. Now, the problem, you know, is that these kind of claims are often used for fear-mongering because they imply something's dangerous, or there's something dangerous about an ingredient, whether there is or not. So telling people, again, parabens, and we've talked about this in the show multiple times, the latest science says parabens are perfectly safe and they're very, very effective as preservatives.
Yeah.
Yet you'll still see paraben-free products out there that really fly in the face of this, of what science tells us. So that really falls in the category of fear-mongering. Companies are taking that strategy to kind of take advantage of consumers who may not be up on the latest research.
Well, the only reason you would put something is free from an ingredient is there's sort of an implied reason, a bad reason that it would be in there, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. And I'll give you another example. One of my favorites is when you see a hair conditioner that's labeled as sulfate-free.
Right.
Well, conditioners don't use sulfates. They're certainly not the detergent kind of sulfate like sodium lauryl sulfate, which is what people really mean when they say sulfate-free. So, you know, it's kind of like your uranium example. I mean, the product wouldn't have uranium in the first place, so making a claim it's uranium-free or making a claim that a conditioner is sulfate-free, it's really misleading because it's implying there's an advantage to this product that it just doesn't exist.
Right.
Now, there are other times when free-from claims are legitimate, like maybe in the case of allergies, right? You would want to know your product is allergen-free.
Right.
You could label it that way. Fragrance-free may be an example. Fragrances tend to be the more irritating ingredients in cosmetics.
Sure.
Certainly, free from animal-derived ingredients, which goes into ethics. So if you were concerned from an ethical perspective, you'd want to know your product is free from animal-derived ingredients. Maybe free from alcohol because people think it's irritating. So so there are cases where it's legitimate, and that's essentially the point of view that was put forth in another article I read, which quotes Lorraine Dallmeyer, who's the director of Organic Cosmetic Science School. I'm not familiar with that, but now Lorraine says that free-from claims are legit as long as they're based on these ethical, religious, or allergic grounds, you know, that I just gave some examples of. She says that free-from claims that do not denigrate competitors nor create confusion with the product of a competitor should be permissible. So I guess there's two schools of thought here. I tend to think that the free-from claims, for the most part, are misused, but I would agree with Lorraine that there are some legitimate cases where they may be needed. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I believe Lorraine is from the UK, and this probably comes up. She's probably talking about it because in the UK, they ban these free-from claims. Because in the United States, pretty much anybody can make free-from claims. We don't restrict speech in that way. She's probably... Being an organic formulating school, they probably push a lot of these free-from claims, right? And so she's trying to tell her students or people that she represents a way to do it more ethically. I don't know. I personally think that unless it's you're free from some allergy and allergen and your target market is people who have that allergen, I don't really see a good spot for free-from because – you know, where do you put the limit? Because some people might be afraid of parabens. So when you say paraben-free, for that audience, that's legitimate, right? Even though those are baseless fears.
Yeah, well, I guess back to my earlier point, we should let the science dictate what we should be free from, and parabens do not fall into that category.
Yeah.
So anyway, we can agree to disagree, I guess. On this.
Yeah, I just think there are better ways to market your products than saying what's not in your product.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, you know what's not in our product? Enough iTunes reviews.
We do have a couple to read today.
But we always have room for more. So, so why don't one of the things that we do when we get iTunes reviews, and we really do appreciate iTunes reviews because it helps raise the profile of the show in iTunes, and then more people can find the show and more people can listen. And the more people that listen, the more inspired we are to keep doing this show.
Yeah, for sure.
So we like to read iTunes every so often when we get them. So let me go with the first one. This one comes from the Anderson family. They say, love the show. Thanks so much for all you do and share.
Wow, I think that's the first one from a family. Like, could you see them like sitting around like in the old time when there were just radio programs before television? Family would sit around the radio. I wonder if they're doing that like around their iPod or something. Well, that's kinda cool.
It could be. And then they're snapping their fingers. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da.
That would be the Addams Family.
Oh, sorry. Oh, you're right.
You've just insulted them. Thank you.
No.
Hey,
I didn't see
a family that listens to us. What are you doing?
It wasn't meant to be an insult.
Let's move on. All right, here's one that comes to us from Boo Face Book Boom Messenger from Australia. And they say, I binge listened to over 10 episodes in one go. I can't get enough. Thanks, guys, for telling it like it is.
Wow, that's awesome.
Love the binge listeners.
Yeah. And we've got one more here. Lizzie Cam says, this podcast helped me... Wow, I can't even read. This podcast helps me see through the haze that is called beauty. Marketing and bull words don't stand a chance against these renegades.
Hadn't really thought of ourselves as renegades, but sure, I'll wear that proudly. Yeah.
We're always fighting against the bull words.
And there you go. And the haze that is called beauty.
Hey, Randy, you know how women have to pay more money for their clothes than men?
Do they?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm women, not sure I knew that.
Yeah, have you ever, like, buy a pair of women's jeans versus a pair of men's jeans? Like, the price is ridiculously different.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, it turns out they also have to pay more for their cosmetic and personal care products.
Well, that ain't right.
Well, according to a U.S. study done by the New York City Department of Consumer Affairs, women pay an average of 13% more for female-specific personal care products. So according to the people who ran the study, they looked at five sectors of personal care products, like hair care products, shaving products, body wash, deodorant. And then they got price information by doing observational studies at places like CVS or Walgreens or Rite Aid. Mm-hmm. And they found this discrepancy. So you know which category had the greatest discrepancy?
Hmm.
Hair care. They found that women-focused hair care products were 48% more expensive than the male version.
Wow.
Yeah. Shaving products were the next biggest discrepancy, and women's products were like 11% more expensive.
Yeah.
And the best deal were female deodorants, which were only about 3% more expensive. I think
so
the important.
Yeah, what's up with this?
You know, I don't really know what is going on with this, right? But you know, perhaps men barely buy anything, so they just don't care, so they'll just buy whatever, right? So marketers don't put a lot of effort into it. But I think the important thing for people to know is that there's practically zero difference between men and women's focused personal care products, right? I mean. Seriously, what are the only significant difference would be what, the fragrance and maybe the packaging?
Yeah, no. When you say no difference, you mean no functional difference.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, what would be the difference between a women's focused shampoo and a men's shampoo?
Yeah, I mean, I could speculate. I mean, it depends on hair length, for example. Maybe you need more intensive conditioner, but guys could have long hair and women could have short hair, so that doesn't really explain it either.
Right. I mean, if you took two people of the same length hair, what hair care difference could there possibly be just based on sex?
Yeah.
Or gender, I mean. None, really, right? So I think, you know, if you are concerned about saving money and you don't really want to fall for this extra female beauty product tax, just go buy the male versions of things. Right?
Well,
there really
you don't want to smell like, you know, Irish Spring or Old Spice or whatever.
Well, there is that downside. So. But it is kind of a mystery to me. I wonder what our audience would think. Like, what is the reason that there'd be this difference in prices?
I don't know. This should be make for an interesting discussion in the comments section. And also, it occurs to me that what you ought to do is buy tampons for Mrs. Romanowski because you could get them cheaper.
Well, the male version.
Yeah, right. Whatever that would be.
I don't know. Depends. this episode brought to you by Depends.
Something went horribly wrong right there.
Maybe we could get them as a sponsor. God.
Are you done? Because I want to move right past this.
Let's move on.
Are you familiar with this practice of tight lining?
Tight lining? I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, well, it's a makeup technique, and it involves drawing eyeliner inside the lash line, right? So you're putting it right, almost like right next to your eye.
Sure.
Apparently, it's a great technique to make lashes look fuller without making it look like you're wearing a lot of eye makeup. Now, it's somewhat contentious because, you know, some people have raised the concern it could cause pink eye or otherwise harm your eyes, and yet other people say it's completely safe and they've been doing it for years. Well, now I think we know the truth about this based on a study published in the Journal of the Contact Lens Association of Ophthalmologists. So Dr. Allison Eng, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, at the Center for Contact Lens Research in Waterloo, directed a study which proves that people who apply eyeliner on the inner eyelid run the risk of not only contaminating their eyes, but also causing vision problems.
Oh,
now, I mean, this is kind of intuitively obvious, to me at least. I mean, when I heard about that, it sounded like you would risk getting stuff in your eye. But this is the first study to prove that particles from pencil eyeliner actually do move into the eye.
Huh.
So the research team evaluated different makeup application styles and used videography to compare the amount of eyeliner particles that migrated into the tear film. And they found that, and I'll quote here, makeup migration happened quicker and was greater when eyeliner was put on the inner lid margin. And they say, in fact, in as little as 5 minutes, between 15 and 30% more particles moved into the tear film when tight lining was used. So the researchers say that this kind of contamination can cause, you know, physical irritation and redness. And, you know, depending on the bacteria present in the eyeliner, it could cause eye infections or blurred vision.
Yeah.
If you wear contact lenses, you're even more likely to have problems from this technique. So the bottom line here is tight line at your own risk. Or, you know, maybe they could use that Dior eyeliner patch we talked about back in episode 116. Maybe that's the niche for that thing. I don't know.
I guess so. But boy, all I got to say with stories like these make me happy that I don't wear eye makeup
anymore.
Yeah, well, at least not during the week. Hey, you know, speaking of eye makeup, have you seen this latest DIY trend?
Oh, this is going to piss me off.
Yeah, I saw a story on SheFinds, but it's called a hack, how to turn your eyeshadow into lipstick.
Oh, come on.
And they go through here and they say, You can do this first you clean your lips and then you wipe your lips clean of any trace of lipstick,
mm-hmm.
and then you apply the eyeshadow. You just dab your finger onto your powder brush and then mm-hmm. put it on your lips.
Right.
And then to add some shine, you can put a little layer of lip balm over the top or something like that.
Okay, that's fine.
And that's it. And there's video tutorials on how to do this.
Sounds perfect. What could be wrong with that?
Well, this is just a terrible idea, right? I mean, in the first part, eyeshadows and lipsticks are developed with, you know, differences in mind of the location. Like your lips are different skin than your eyes, you know, the skin around your eyes, right?
Yes.
I mean, compared to your rest of your skin, lips have like a thinner stratum corneum. They don't have sweat glands. They lack sebaceous glands. Lips will be more prone to dryness, so you're just going to dry out your lips even further by using this product, right?
Because of the powder in the eye
exactly.
makeup, is that what you mean?
Exactly.
Okay,
that seems
to me to be the secondary issue, but go ahead.
Right, and the primary issue is like some of the pigments used in eyeshadow are not approved for use around the lips and vice versa, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, it drives me crazy. People are so concerned, you know, that big cosmetics are going to, you know, poison them. And yet they'll go ahead and just hack something like this and say, this is fine. Was this, you know, designed to be accidentally ingested if I lick my lips or eat something? No. Go ahead. To me, it's irresponsible and dangerous that this website would promote that.
Right. And it's just amazing how flippant people are, because the reason that cosmetics are in the United States are regulated at all mm-hmm. is because of colorants and right. the things that colorants right. were doing to people. Right. That's, you know, of all the stuff in your cosmetics, the colorants are the things you got to be most worried about. And here they're like, yeah, that's in my eye. Let me put it on my lips.
It's just ridiculous. I didn't have a chance today, but I actually wanted to go to the website and leave a comment. Just at least hopefully somebody might see what the issue is and decide not to do something ridiculous like this.
Yeah, yeah. Don't use your eyeshadow as lipstick, people.
Please.
Just don't do it.
But you know what? I'll bet she finds. That's where you saw this.
Yeah, it was at She Finds. Yeah,
I'm sure they got a ton of traffic from this. And you know what? I'm kind of sick of you know, missing this gravy train of web traffic because we're too nice, you know? So what I want to do is I'm going to make up our own stupid beauty hacks, and we're going to put them out there, and we're going to see if we can get a tsunami of traffic. So I made up three.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yeah, so just see if you think, sure. You tell me which one of these you think we should go with.
Sure.
Okay?
Well, wait, Kathy over there, so our lawyer, is telling me that we should do a disclaimer. These are just for entertainment purposes only. Don't actually do these. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, these are stupid beauty hacks. Don't do them. But if we did want to run one of these, which one would you go with? All right, here we go. Here's the first one. Everyone knows antiperspirants fight body odor, but did you know they can also freshen your breath? Lightly swipe your deodorant stick over your tongue, and you'll be kissably fresh all day long. Okay, so there's one.
Yum!
Here's number two. Contact lenses can be such a pain, but just a few drops of mouthwash in each eye disinfects your lenses and makes your eyes sparkling white. And then here's number three. Want longer lashes? Try applying a thin paste of hair relaxer. In seconds, your lashes will stretch out to their full length.
So. Oh, my. And you'll be blind, so you won't be able to see it.
Again, lawyer, blah, blah, blah. Don't really do anything. It's just any of these things. It was just a joke. But, boy, hey, I bet we'd get a lot of traffic if we ran those.
I tell you what, I bet we're going to see that in the future, and it won't be as a joke either, right? Based on what some people are doing. Man. Yeah. All right, well, it looks like we've run out of stories. At least I have. Have you run out of stories?
I am so done.
Wow. Well, next time we're going to have a question and answer session. We've got a lot of questions that we haven't answered yet, but we will answer your beauty questions next time. But that's all I got. Hey, Randy, you know, I was listening to the episodes that we just had, and you played one of the lost files, the old ones,
I did,
right?
with Cerebellum, yeah.
And Cerebellum, you know what her sign-off was?
No.
Yeah, she used to say, at the end of the show, she would say, beauty doesn't have to be brainless.
Oh. Uh-huh. And that's why she's no longer with the program.
That's right. So until next time, Randy.
Beauty doesn't have to be brainless. No. No, no, no. Be brainy about your beauty. Thanks, everybody.